The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has been already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated. You know, this passage raises a lot of questions for me about the nature and the function of prayer. When I read this thing, I was wondering why the disciples decided to ask Jesus how to teach them how to pray. And, you know, being good Jewish men, they knew how to pray already. No doubt they would go to synagogue, they would go to the temple, they read their Torah, they read their Talmud, maybe. Anyway, they knew how to pray because that was part of their whole life. But they saw something in Jesus' life and perhaps even in his prayer that was really new, really inviting, and they wanted to know what that was. But before we get into this, I want to ask you and share with you many kinds of prayers that we have. There are prayers that we make a petition to God. There are prayers when we praise God. There are prayers when we have a conversation with God. There are prayers when we argue with God. There are prayers when we plead with God. You know, and there are prayers where we question God. And these all provide a certain kind of understanding of our relationship with God and where it is that we are in that relationship with God. And so, but prayer is one of those things that really brings us into a new relationship with God. If you knew that you were actually standing in the presence of God, the God Almighty, the one who creates the heavens and the earth, and that you were addressing God specifically, you would probably take a little bit more care about how you address this God. Because frankly, I think we miss that part. We miss the fact that when we speak to the God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. And there are two things that I really want you to remember. One, it is that God wants us to pray. And the other thing is that God listens. These are the problem, the things that we really, really believe. And that God answers prayer. God says in today's reading, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be open to you. And so that means that there's going to be some kind of response from God. And the question is, when we talk about prayer, what is that response specifically? For a lot of us, misunderstand perhaps the kinds of responses that we get from God. A lot of people tend to think that once you ask God for something, God is obligated, indeed, to answer that prayer. And in many cases, we all have testimonies of our lives that we've asked for something and God has given it to us. And sometimes 10 times over, 10 times more than what we've asked. So that there is a certainty in that aspect of what God can do when we pray. When we pray, God will answer us one way. But there's a lot of times in which God will not answer us and will not give us the answer that we're looking for. And this is where I think is the problematic that I want to address today. Because, for instance, I knew a lot of people, over my years of being in this kind of work, where people have prayed for certain things, and they say to me, I prayed for my father who had a congestive heart disease, and I was praying that he wouldn't be any further ill, and he died. Why? Or a young woman that I spoke to in the prison system who told me that her father was abusing her for many years and that she was helpless and didn't know what to do and there was nothing that changed. She prayed to God to stop and it didn't. Why? And I found myself in a real pickle because I didn't know what exactly to answer with that why. But then I started to ask myself the question, what is it that we expect when we ask and we pray? Do we ask for a specific answer immediately? And if God doesn't answer, these are kind of the general responses that we have when God doesn't answer. First, he doesn't love me. He doesn't care. He's not even around. Maybe he's too busy. Maybe he's out taking care of the world. He didn't hear my prayer, right? This is what people tend to think. One response. The other one is that maybe God doesn't have the potential or the power to do what he says he does. But these are kind of negative reactions to prayer because we don't understand how God is answering that prayer. We want the exact answer to our prayer that we put forth. And a lot of times I think our prayers are rote. You ever hear people pray for other people? I get a kick out of it because some people pray and it's like turning on a little machine and they say the same things all the time. They say the same words and they say it in the same manner. And you say to yourself, is that a prayer? Is that just kind of a, you know, repetitious kind of thing? By the way, there are prayers that are repetitious, like the Our Father, certain kinds of prayers that we have through the Psalms. But real prayer, I think, has to come from a different place where we are. It has to come from a place that is spontaneous, that is perhaps moved, that is perhaps open, that is perhaps questioning, and at least that it is authentic in its actual words that it's uttering. Prayer has to be real for you to experience the power of the prayer itself. It's got to be a genuine conversation that you have with God, and it's got to be that you bare your soul before God. Because God wants us to pray, and God listens, is because God wants to teach us that we are dependent on God. And the greatest sin that we have as a human species is that we always think we're independent of God. And the thing that we have to come back to every so often is to remember that God is the all. That everything that we have, everything that we hope for, everything that we depend on is given by God. And so then with that question, I say to myself, what do you do when something happens in your life and you ask for prayer and no answer comes? And you feel like God is either ignoring you or you didn't pray good enough. Do you ever get those? People say, maybe I didn't pray right. Maybe I should say maybe 15 Our Fathers and 20 Hail Marys or something. And I say, my God, God must be bored with that, right? God will say, I hear you, man. Maybe he's persistent. Maybe he's just letting me take care of his prayer, get him out of my hair. But the other thing is that, you know, prayer is something that you have to learn to do based on where you are in your life. There's not a structure of prayer that is right. We can follow prayers that have been given, and they're beautiful prayers. Look at John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, some of these great, wonderful people that were so sensitive to God. They come up with these beautiful prayers. But prayers are something that must come out of the very basis of your life and out of your spirit and out of your context. It's got to be a real, genuine expression of where you are in your life, which means that before you pray, it's a good idea to really think about why you're going to pray. What's going on? Where am I in my experience? What is it that I want to express to God? What is it that I want God to be able to respond to? And so let me get back to the point that a lot of times we don't get the answer, but it's because we're not tuned to the right answer. You see, I read a story to you a couple of months ago. It was called The Missing Piece. I don't know if you remember it. It's about this little ball who was rolling around, and it ran it into a rock, and a little chip fell off it. And the rest of its adventures were to try to find that little piece again so that it would be whole. And during the search for that little piece, it met a lot of people on its way. It met fish, it met birds, it met worms, and it became friendly with all these things. It's a child story. But then it finally found its piece, and then it was whole again, and it went back to its routine in life. And it started rolling past, and it passed the birds, and it passed the worms, and it didn't want to talk because it was back to its old self. Then it realized that he was more alive when he was missing the piece than when he had the full piece. You see, when you have certain things in your life sometimes that happen, you immediately want it out of your life. An inconvenience, a disappointment, a struggle that you have in your life. We want it out of our lives really quickly. And sometimes I think that very missing piece in our lives is what makes us more alive and more aware of who we are and what's around us. Okay? Sometimes we have a pain in our lives that sensitizes us, that tunes us into the reality of God and other people. For the first time, we're aware of what it means to be sick or tired or lonely or in need of somebody else. And these are the moments through which we are awakened to that reality of the other. So that the prayers that we ask sometimes are not answered by God taking that away, but indeed by teaching us through that very problem. Teaching us through that very need, teaching us through that very pain and disappointment. And this is where I think we really need to understand that when God does not answer in one way, God is teaching us in something very profound. I was talking with someone a couple of days ago, and I was sharing with this individual how sometimes where we are in our lives, good or bad, especially in those moments that are difficult, we suddenly feel God's presence more than ever before. You get bad news. You lose your job. You have to go and try something. A relationship breaks up. Suddenly you feel alone. There's an anxiety about you. You get a bad diagnosis. And you find yourself suddenly alone, but open. You're open in a new way. You are suddenly feeling things around you that you've never been able to feel. You're very palpable and you're very sensitive and you're very open and aware and receptive to those things that are God around you, and especially God, who is very present to you more, much more now than ever before. And you may feel completely distraught because God has not answered your prayer by taking away this thing, but I don't know if you would ever give it up for the closeness you have, for the wonderful relationship you experience now with God that perhaps you would never have. You see, that's the challenge for us too. When we pray, what is it that we pray for? And we are in an environment that is so adjusted to immediately getting rid of discomforts. Got a headache? Take an aspirin, right? You know, you have, you know, all kinds of medicines that you can take to take all kinds of pains. You want to sleep? You can buy more Ambien. You could buy it over the counter, right? But what do we do with things that are existential? What do we do with things that are really hard to deal with, that we have to grapple with? Old age, failing bodies, relationships that are questionable, our own future, our ability to think clearly, what it is that we're going to do in the next 10 years. Did I live my life? Did I fulfill myself? These are the questions that we cannot eliminate by a pill, or we cannot eliminate by taking some medication. We have to wrestle and go through that. And this is where God manifests himself in a way that you can never have. You have to then open yourself up and attune yourself, recognizing that we are ultimately and completely dependent on God. We cannot do things on our own. We really can't. I mean, we can make decisions about chocolate or vanilla and where we're going to live and that kind of stuff. But true experiences of life, we are dependent on God. And that is, if you get that fundamental reality that we depend on God for everything, then you find a certain security in that knowledge, and you find a certain groundedness in that reality that God offers us. Because now you depend on God and God will respond, and suddenly everything begins to open up in a way that nothing else has opened up before. So with people who ask you, why do you pray? What would you answer? And when God doesn't answer your prayer, are you going to immediately dismiss God and say, God, you know the old argument, what I call the paper philosophy argument, it says, God didn't answer because either he's not willing to do it or he's too impotent to be able to do it. And is that the stupid answer? Because when I read the scripture that says God will always be present to you. You call and God will respond to you. God will be there to protect you, make you the head and not the tail. God will do everything that you ask him, because God is a relationship God. He's a God that you call and God responds. This is the relationship that we have with God. And that means that you have to take that relationship seriously. So that when you approach God, if you were going to go to court tomorrow, a lot of you guys have done jury duty. Everybody's done jury duty. Let's say you have to talk to the judge. That's frightening. Are you going to say something to the judge? Would you prepare to talk to the judge? Would you not tell? You would tell your wife, I'm going to say this. Tell me how it sounds. Okay, because I really thought about it. I want to really make, and then did I stand right? Was my face correct? You know, my tone, was it good? You know, all these kinds of things, because you want to make the best impression. You want to be able to know that you're doing the best before this judge, because you want him to understand you. But when we pray, we're so cavalier. We really are. We just utter a prayer. And then we say, well, I prayed, you know. Or you rattle off some words. And you think that you're addressing the problem. The problem begins with the work you put in before you utter a prayer. You've got to be in the right place. And you've got to be open to listen to what it is that you ask God about. And there's no accident that when you pray, you also learn. You understand, you deepen, your eyes are open, you're aware. Isn't prayer a form of self-reflection? Isn't prayer a form of being able to evaluate yourself and what conditions you're in? And to be able to see the world anew? These are the things that prayer does. And when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, they recognized that he was getting some foundation. He was in some place that they could not reach. And they were envious of that. They wanted to understand where does that come from. Teach us to pray. And he taught them to pray. And he assured them that whatever you ask, God will respond. May not be on your timetable. May not be in the way you want. But by God, if you listen enough, God will respond. Because suddenly you attune yourself to God. I don't know if this makes any sense, but I was watching a movie one time. And it was a movie about slavery and all that kind of stuff. And then I remember one of the women was going off because one of the white masters wanted her to do something for him. And then the husband was upset. The black husband was upset because of that. And then he wanted to confront him. And one of the other slaves said to him, "We live in his world. He doesn't live in ours." The idea behind that, I think, is that they were objects in this man's world. You know, but he was not the center of their life. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's kind of, you can delete that one. But the idea is that when you pray, you become part of God's life, and God becomes part of your life. And so there's a real resonance between you and God. There's a real awareness and a real opening to God to be present in your life. So when you pray, at least pray with a sense of real awareness of who you pray to begin with. And if you don't get the answer that you want, at least learn from where you are. Learn where you are in your life. And maybe there is what God is answering you. Maybe there is where God is responding to your prayer. Amen.